Welcome back, everyone, to the show. It's definitely been a while. With all the things that have been going on in the world, I mean, coronavirus, riots, Black Lives Matter, all these movements, things have just been constantly changing lately. And I wanted to talk about something that's been kind of keeping me sane over this quarantine, stay-at-home types of days. And that's been watching a certain TV show, honestly. It's called Codename Kids Next Door. Now, I originally watched this show when I was a kid, much younger, when I was still probably in elementary school or middle school, probably about to become middle school, probably. And I didn't really appreciate all the thought and creativity that honestly went into the show and its design. Watching all the episodes and movies once again as an adult has definitely changed my perspective on the show, honestly. One is that the writing, the characters, and just the development of everything immediately blew me away as an adult. I immediately started to get all the references, and rewatching episodes by season and watching plots develop has really changed my perspective on the show. I recently just finished the first season and I'm currently making progress on season 2, and I immediately found that each episode slightly started to build up towards the season finale of season 1. If you guys have watched it, it built off of the episode where the baby boss had a cigar that apparently turns adults into babies, adults, children, just about anyone of any age, turning them back into babies. And at the end of that episode, the delightful children got their hands on the cigar. And I didn't really understand as a kid where that would kind of pick up later on in the season, until I watched the season finale of season 1 as an adult. And I saw that when they got the cigar, they used it on number 1 to make him an adult. And then it became this whole fiasco of them changing each other's ages. And I found that just plain entertaining and a joy, honestly, to watch. Rewatching everything has just ignited this happy sense of nostalgia and joy in me that I never really, I would say, appreciated when I was a kid. I mean, I had a pretty chill childhood, just mainly been, I remember when I was young, I would just wait until I'd get home just so I could watch some television and play video games with my siblings, but that was about it. You know, I never really cared too much about cartoons and stuff. But as I'm watching these episodes consecutively, I noticed that there is a sort of story that builds in the show, besides some episodes that are kind of filler and are mainly just around for character development and introducing new characters, such as new villains or side characters into the show, or one-time characters. One thing that I would definitely say that this show is really good at is going to the extreme. I mean, the creator of the show, Mr. Warburton, is really good, or even the other storyboard writers are really good at over-exaggerating certain topics that kids experience. I never would have thought that going to the beach and building sandcastles would turn into a fight for fighting off a king of a sandcastle, or that dental hygiene was so looked down upon in the show that kids, it actually seemed like a norm for kids to have cavities or messed up teeth. But in reality, that's one of the worst things that can happen to you, because you would want to hold on to your teeth as long as possible. And that was the introduction of night brace. And it kind of took an even bigger twist because Nightbrace turned out to be a candy store owner. So it's kind of contradicting his role as someone who cleans people's teeth. So just the mystery aspect and just trying to tell amazing stories, honestly, with the show. It took so much concepts. I mean, there was Wedgie Bully Island or something that number four had to help out in. And the fact that I'm able to recall some of the episodes, some of the characters, their names, even before rewatching the series, already shows that The Kids Next Door had a special place in my mind, honestly. And I really did appreciate all the work that each of the characters, or each of the writers, voice actors, everyone put into it. I actually got so addicted to the show that I looked up each of their voice actors and where they are now. And to my surprise, or actually, it probably isn't much big of a surprise, but a lot of the voice actors eventually blew up or had astounding careers in cartoons and just voice acting in general, and acting especially. The guy who played number four, if you guys don't know, Dee Bradley Baker, he's pretty popular even right now in 2020, as Disney is coming out with Disney Plus, and they're showing shows like Star Wars The Clone Wars, where he plays literally every clone trooper. I remember I was rewatching some of the Kids Next Door episodes, and I was listening to number four's voice, and it definitely did sound familiar, but I couldn't quite put my hand on where his voice was originally from. I remember hearing it, but I didn't put two and two together until I actually looked it up, because it just sounded similar, but I just kind of brushed it off in the beginning. Later on, I looked up the other voice actors, and so number three's voice actor, Lauren Tom, actually voices a lot of Asian women, female characters in various TV shows, including the Asian character in Futurama. I didn't really watch much of that show, but just seeing that her career didn't end with Kids Next Door as Kooky is a bit inspiring, you know. It kind of shows that if you kind of stick to something and keep trying things out and working on your craft, you'll eventually see a lot of progress there. That really blew my mind as an adult myself, because it showed a lot of hope for a lot of adults who were once kids. Another interesting topic in terms of becoming an adult is the idea of decommissioning. I didn't really look into it until I started rewatching the show. And apparently, after you turn 13, you get decommissioned. And I kind of chuckled a bit, or I kind of laughed a bit on the inside, because I could barely remember what happened in the show. So I kind of thought that I got decommissioned in a sense. Or, you know, maybe a lot of us ended up getting decommissioned, but when I was rewatching it, I kind of felt like I was reliving an old adventure that I went on as a kid. If you guys watch these episodes consecutively, it's even better, because you can kind of see a story and kind of get to know the characters a bit better, instead of having to watch cable TV and switching to a different show. I remember they would switch to shows like Camp Lazlo or Teen Titans constantly in between, and it would get a bit distracting. It's hard to hold on to storylines when you're constantly being fed even more storylines of different shows. So definitely, if you guys are trying to get back into it, definitely rewatch episodes consecutively, probably start from season one. I remember, like, there are some filler episodes, but you can just probably skip the kind of slower ones or kind of nonsense ones where you kind of remember the plot, or enjoy rewatching it in its entirety. That's what I was doing in the beginning, and I really enjoyed that in season one. And then jumping into season two, I can already see progress and growth. Surprisingly, I didn't really understand it that during the time, but number three and number four already seem to be already building a relationship from since the time when he dressed up as number one and Kuki was kind of teasing him that he's Lizzie's boyfriend and stuff. And then later on, number four destroys Mr. Huggykins in season two and Kuki forces him to say I love you, which was the phrase that Mr. Huggykins was programmed to constantly say, which number four kind of denies. So yeah, I didn't really understand it, but for those of you who know what shipping is, I would say that was one of my first shippings. I really thought those two seemed kind of cute together. And yeah, I didn't really understand that I kind of saw them that way in the past. But going back to the topic of voice actors, number one's voice, Benjamin Diskin, he's pretty much still popular in the voice acting industry. He moved on to anime. I know he voices a British person in JoJo that actually does kind of sound like him because the character is British. That's the only thing I've seen so far that really did remind me of the way Nigel, his character, kind of sounded. And the fact that I did not know that he voiced both number one and number two. So that was kind of interesting. Because I watched some interviews with the cast. And I was confused why it was just number one and number five's voice actor. But no, he also plays number two. And so the person who plays number five is Cree Summer. And she's really well known for voicing a lot of black people in the community of cartoon characters. Speaking of black people, going back to modern times, a lot of people, even Mr. Warburton posted on, I remember seeing on his Twitter, he posted a picture of number five fighting for black lives, the black movement that's been going on. So I really am glad that Mr. Warburton still hangs behind his characters, still believes in them. And I really am thankful, honestly, for having this show being part of my childhood, no matter how exaggerated it is. There are some characters or villains I really did not enjoy, such as the Common Cold. It's kind of difficult to listen to that guy speak, honestly, because he's, you know, he sounds very sick, which is really not a joy to be listening to, honestly. But going back to the topic of relationships, I really did not know that number two and number five would end up together. I should have noticed because of the episode where number two is shown falling in love with Cree since her introduction in season two, and during the episode when he was babysitting, or when Cree was babysitting him. That was a really weird episode. If you guys watched that, I think that episode turned out to be a dream. Another cool part of the show was the fact that number five eventually turned out to become leader of Sector V when number one went to space and joined the Galactic Kids next door. And I guess number 365 got decommissioned as their commander, you know? And that's pretty amazing, you know, the fact that everyone sort of moved up with their lives. I mean, number one joining one of the highest factions of the Kids Next Door in the Galactic Kids Next Door, which was supposed to become a TV show, I know, which was a bit disappointing that Cartoon Network turned it down. But, you know, the fact that Operation Interviews, the very last episode/movie, showed number five welcoming number one back when they're already much older adults, or maybe grandparents, senior citizens, maybe close to there. I don't know, like some of them, I'm just assuming kind of getting close to senior because number four's hair is white and number two is kind of like losing his memory a bit and falling asleep a lot. Kind of similar to some of the senior citizens in the show where they're seen constantly falling asleep a lot. But yeah, everyone ended up moving on with their lives or moving up with their lives. I mean, number four ended up going to medical school at Harvard, which was pretty amazing because if you think about it, the guy was shown in the show not being able to read in the fourth grade, but was still able to create a lot of cool technology and become very strong and street smart. I would say he's the street smart guy, but you know, when you're kids, it's really hard to define someone being street smart because everyone's still kind of learning. But in the show, each of them are still seen as experts. I would say that number two is still the go-go gadget of the show, constantly creating new tech, new gizmos, 2x4 technology. I really found that really cool how number two would just sit down at his desk and just come up with new ideas, new tech. And that kind of inspires me as a kid, you know, or when I was a kid, because I never really thought of all those amazing technologies, but the creator of the show, Mr. Warburton, really believed in the idea of exaggerating a lot of the skills that children possess, such as their creativity. Number two was able to create ships, pilot vehicles. Number four was actually seen in an episode driving a truck, which flew off of a cliff. And the fact that they all kind of married each other after number one left is kind of interesting, but they spent so much of their time together in that treehouse. I'm not surprised why they would all grow so close. I really didn't approve of number one's girlfriend, though. She's kind of really abusive from the episode. So I'm glad in the Galactic Kids Next Door episode, kind of sneak trailer show, they kind of revealed that she was an alien, so I guess number one kind of dodged a bullet there. But who knows, you know? I know they broke up, which is kind of good for number one, because I know number 365 was kind of interested in him. So he got kind of escaped a abusive relationship there since season one. Going to the idea, though, of the fact that kids could be so skilled, you know, and so spread out around the world with all these tree houses and all this technology is pretty amazing. I never would have thought as a kid just how amazing the show amplified the way kids truly are, which shows the value, which is smart, intelligent, skillful, constantly learning, of course lazy, and there's a few other quirks, but you know, that's all part of growing up, honestly. The adults aren't really viewed in much of a good light in the show. I mean, they are the main villains, at least adults that are mainly shown are tyrants. Even the senior citizens are shown as evil villains, so it's really hard to find adults that are likable or senior citizens. But there are also bad kids too. I mean, the delightful children from down the lane, those kids from under the mountain. So not all the kids introduced in the show are good. There are some bad ones, especially the delightful children who turned out to actually be missing members of the Kids Next Door who were delightfulized. So that really blew my mind, honestly. You know, the delightful children were once really cool at one point. No one still knows the name of that one girl on their team also, but you know, sometimes things work out in people's favor eventually, you know. And Operation Zero really brought back to life the fact that there are really cool adults in this world. I mean, you didn't really see much cool adults in the show until that movie, because number one's dad turns out to be number zero, which is basically the founding member of the kids next door, or one of the biggest and most important ones. So, and even his mom turned out to be number 999, I think. So, adults are really cool too, or at least they were shown at the last minute to become, to be seen as what they truly are, which are amazing and skilled, experienced individuals who are even training their own kids, you know? I think that this show kind of capitalizes on the fact that one of the biggest roles as an adult, as a parent, is to kind of raise kids to become great people, you know? I mean, where did the kids get all their cool quirks from and skills? And, you know, it had to come from somewhere, which is their parents. And I really did appreciate that about the show. Another big thing about adults in the show is that once they're decommissioned, they seem to not have much memory or not seem as cool. But in reality, you know, it's completely different. Adults are doing a lot of cool things that kids could only wish they could grow up to do. I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't wait until I grew up to start driving, to start going places or riding a roller coaster because I wasn't a certain height or a certain age. So growing up, the show really does look a bit down upon the idea of growing up, but honestly, it's just an exaggeration. And in real life, growing up is one of the coolest things because you gain all these experiences and all these new things that come along the journey, your journey in life. So I definitely take a lot of the things the show gives you with a bit of a grain of salt, you know? Don't take things too seriously when you're watching the show, because ultimately it's one main purpose, you know, is to keep viewers entertained, and it's not mainly shown to portray things as they truly are, because it's a cartoon. Cartoons are designed to be entertaining in the end. Going a bit more to modern times, I've definitely been rewatching the show mainly because a couple weeks ago was finals week for me at school, and I needed a way to release some stress because we were already quarantining at the time, staying at home and just staring at the computer. And after long hours of studying for tests or exams, you know, it's nice to have something to go back to. I remember I stumbled upon something. I can't remember what it was that kind of triggered my interest once again in Codename Kids Next Door. And then from there, I searched up the ending, and I immediately started tearing up because seeing all these characters tear up, I kind of reminded me a bit of the memories of watching them go on adventures and watching their character development. So I kind of teared up a bit too watching that ending when number one was about to get sent off to space to join the Galactic Kids Next Door, you know? I found that very beautiful, you know, and then I wanted to rewatch the whole thing from there, you know, and summer started and I wanted to kind of get into rediscovering what I found so interesting in the show. Another really cool thing that I've been doing because of the show is drawing. So I've been trying to get into drawing for a while. I own an iPad and I mainly use it for studying, but I really want to learn how to draw. And after watching so much Kids Next Door episodes, I really started to kind of dabble a bit into it. Besides playing Animal Crossing and watching the show, I stumbled upon a post on Twitter. Someone tried drawing their Animal Crossing character and it looked apparently like the Kids Next Door. And I was like, yeah, it really does look like a Kids Next Door character. This person has some skill. So I ended up talking to this person, asking her what program she uses, and she used the Procreate app on the iPad. And I was like, oh, I have an iPad. Yeah, I have that app too, but I never really draw on it. So she kind of encouraged me. And from there, the rest is history. I've been drawing. My first drawing was trying to draw my Animal Crossing character and kind of looked like a Kids Next Door character. And then I actually started drawing Kids Next Door characters. And then it just went well from there. I mean, like, of course, my first drawing was kind of not as good as the ones I'm doing now, but, you know, gotta start somewhere. And I really have a strong appreciation now for the time and effort that it took to animate characters and draw them out, honestly, because this stuff isn't easy. Even coloring the characters feels like a hassle. And then to animate it, this stuff definitely requires a team. So I have a lot of appreciation for cartoons now, drawing and animators, honestly. These people made millions of people's childhoods. A lot of the show's merch is even super expensive if you guys look it up. I tried looking up some and it's just way too overpriced, and I'm way too old now to even care about having toys and figures like that just sitting in my room. Yeah, that's one of the caveats of becoming an adult. You know, you have to let go of certain attributes such as holding on or hoarding old toys and stuff. So I've been trying to get back into the whole podcasting thing, video series editing. Kids Next Door has just been honestly on my mind lately, all day, every day, kind of, even after I finish work. So I've just been jumping it back onto this. Just today I watched an interview of Mr. Warburton, and he's up to big things with his Muppet show, Baby Muppets, and his drawings of amazing lunch bags. If you guys didn't see his drawings on his Instagram, it's just plain amazing. He draws on his kids' lunches, and then I guess they throw away those lunch bags. But still, you know, the show has honestly been amazing. I'm still going to continue rewatching each episode until I get to the last season, because honestly, this show got a lot of people's creativity built into it. And even they did a crossover with the Grim Richards of Billy Mandy, which was really amazing. I think that was the only crossover for the show. And then later on, I Know Number 3 did a crossover into the Grim Richards of Billy Mandy movie Big Boogie Adventure as the new Grim Reaper. And you know, just that's just something Cartoon Network did really amazing, just crossovering its shows many times. I remember watching all the crossovers as a kid, and I got so excited, super hyped at each one, you know? I definitely think that if you guys are interested, definitely rewatch. Definitely see what was all the time and creativity that was put into there, even the nonsense filler episodes, which are really funny. Honestly, you'll fall in love once again with the characters and their little antics, and each character has something special about them, honestly. And there's a lot of references too to like Star Wars, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, surprisingly. They have Yipper cards. How much closer can you get to like Yu-Gi-Oh from there? And they had that one episode with the Dragon Ball Z references. So definitely rewatch it. So much to offer. But that's all for today's episode. I'll try and publish more podcasts later on. And I'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, stay awesome. Peace.